country. This is a mighty fine defense. Positively horrific in its simplicity.
But where the hell are they?
J.B. studied the floor underfoot. The carpeting was clean. No spots from dropped food or drink.
There's hammocks here for 100, maybe more. We've only chilled 20 or so.
Could be room for new families. But more likely the rest are chilled.
Mildred wrinkled her nose at the sharp smell of the vines. It was similar to ivy, but resembled hemp. Clearly another mutation.
Hey, that's why they risked death to get our horses. They were starving to death.
Not much to eat in the desert.
Sure as hell hope they're chilled.
A vine brushed against his neck, and he swatted it away.
Otherwise, there's only two options. They're either terrified of our blasters and have run away in hiding.
Or else, the Greenies are preparing a major ambush, and this whole city is one huge trap.
As the mists faded from the Mat-Trans unit, Dr. Silas Jamivu appeared, standing on a hexagonal platform of tiny lights twinkling from inside the hidden machinery. Next to him was a forklift, its prongs filled with foam boxes, sealed with yellow and black striped warning tape. The man waited a few moments for indications of jump sickness to hit, and was relieved when none occurred. Sometimes he was driven to the floor in retching agony, but those bouts were occurring less frequently these days. It was as if his constant nightmares of the cron jump were somehow making him immune to the smaller miseries of disintegration and instantaneous travel. Climbing into the seat of the forklift, Silas started the electric motor and carefully drove the machine off the portable gateway and onto the bare concrete floor. Stacks and crates of every description filled the Quonset hut. Long rifle boxes, drums of fuel, footlockers, backpacks, everything his growing army needed. Even the hut had come through the gateway, painstakingly carried one piece at a time, until Silas was finally able to have his troops take down the canvas tent around the gateway and surround the unit with the more secure domain of the hut. Silas knew many of the secrets of the Mat-Trans system, and aside from controlling the jump destination, the man also knew where a lot of military equipment was stored. Tons of materiel and supplies that hadn't been touched since he personally ordered Special Forces troops to place it there 100-odd years ago. Overton had marveled at the AK-47 assault rifles and radios, but those were toys compared to the weapons Silas was working on now, a weapon that would burn the pollution from the Deathlands forever and give him absolute mastery of the world. It would mean an end to war. After the necessary bloodshed of retribution, of course. But then, nothing was free. Parking near the door, Silas rose and placed a hand on a glowing pad on the wall. There was a hum, and the door disengaged, cycling open onto a small enclosure. Directly across the neatly mown grass was the laboratory, to the right, the barracks, to the left, a brand new wall of concertina wire, topped with crackling electric prods.
Guards!
He stepped onto the neatly raked soil. Several armed sec men in crisp blue shirts ran over immediately.
Sir!
A young corporal saluted. Silas returned the salute, trying not to appear dismayed at the age of the trooper. Most of the replacement sec men were young, hastily recruited from distant vills after the slaughter of so many veterans by the rebelling slaves. The barbed wire was only one of many steps taken to make sure such a disaster was never allowed to happen again. He blamed himself for the slaughter. He had been too lenient last time. No more.
Drive the forklift outside the enclosure, and have some workers haul these components of the main ladder to the dish for assembly. And make sure that nobody is to enter the warehouse for the next 20 minutes. No, make that an hour, just to be safe.
Safe, Dr. Jamivu?
The sick man nervously glanced at the thick door of veined steel. The pre-dark scientist scowled.
Your ape brain could never possibly understand the reasons why. Just do as you are ordered.
Yes, sir.
With exaggerated care, the sec man piloted the machine along a walkway and through the gate in the electric fence. Chained slaves were waiting there, and each took a box from the stack and started shuffling toward the gigantic dish. A teenager took a foam box and started for the ladder at the base of the bunker. His steps were hesitant, and almost immediately he tripped and dropped the container. The foam broke apart on the flagstones, and the computer module inside tumbled into view and shattered on the ground, pieces spraying for yards. The slave begged forgiveness, going to his knees and hastily sweeping the bits into a pile with bare hands. An overseer cursed and lashed the teen with a knotted bullwhip. His sweat-stained shirt split across the back, and blood welled from a deep slash. The slave cried out, and the laughing sec man coiled the whip for another strike.
Hold!
The overseer froze, confusion on his features.
Sir?
Silas stared at the bleeding youth. The strapping young farmer was too tired to haul a small box 100 feet.
Bleeding to death isn't going to help this worker get more done today, is it?
I'll make him work!
The line of chained slaves cowered. Hands clasped, Silas stared coldly at the overseer.
Indeed. You are relieved of worker supervision and assigned to the wall. We have no need of fools here. Go!
Stunned, the overseer stumbled away, unable to comprehend what he had done wrong. Looking about, Silas chose a sec man and pointed.
You there, Corporal!
Yes, Doctor.
Congratulations, you are now an overseer. Feed these workers and give them a 10-minute rest every 2 hours. Finishing a job is much more important than trying to finish the job. Understand?
The sec man saluted.
Yes, Doctor. Hail the new America!
Sighing in frustration, Silas walked to the lab and locked the door by throwing a deadbolt. Luxuriating in the air conditioning for a moment, he limped to a computer console and continued the diagnostics on the new software. Building the dish was only the first step in controlling the kite. They also needed precise calculations to focus the power station. Even the slightest mistake could result in nothing happening to the target, or his own sec men dying in droves. The intercom buzzed.
What? I told you I was never to be interrupted in the lab!
Glorious news, sir! Ryan has been captured!
A minute passed before Silas could speak.
What was that again?
One of our patrols caught them in some ruins east of here. The Major has them in the main courtyard. Do you wish to talk with the prisoners, or should we chill them, sir?
Do nothing!
Silas slid a rainbow-colored CD-ROM from the mainframe computer and tucked it into a shirt pocket.
No. Summon more guards in case they try to escape. I will be there at once!
Turning off the intercom, Silas hastily hobbled from the lab and headed down a hallway for the exit. Could it be true that after so long a time, he was finally going to chill Tanner? Maybe that would stop the nightmares. His heart beat faster with hope. Yes, it had to. Free. He would be free from that cursed man once and forever. Rushing from the building, Silas found a dozen sec men around an LAV-25 that was parked in the courtyard. Sheffield stood nearby with an unreadable expression.
What's wrong?
Judge for yourself, sir.
The Major crossed his arms. An iron cage was attached to the rear of the APC with heavy chains, and it had obviously been dragged behind the transport through mud and fields. Horribly jammed inside was a group of wounded men, arms and legs sticking out of the bars of the impossibly tight confines. More chains had been attached to a cross made of wooden beams. A man was chained and tied to the beams, his arms outstretched. He was covered with dirt, sweat cutting paths through the caked road dust. Dressed in combat fatigues and military-style boots, he had long black hair, was tall, heavily muscled, and a terrible scar bisected his face. A smoking cigar dangling from his mouth, a grinning sergeant stood nearby the prisoners, his AK-47 leveled and ready, as if expecting trouble.
Are you in charge of this patrol?
Yes, sir, Dr. Jamevu. Gave us quite a fight, but we brought Ryan in alive and killed...
Dullard! Poltroon!
Silas hobbled closer.
This isn't Carter! Can't you see he has 2 eyes?
His smile fading quickly, the sergeant puffed nervously on the cigar. This wasn't going as planned.
Well, we sort of figured he took the eye from a dead man and shoved it in as a disguise. But we found him with those 5 others. One's a blonde, another a redhead, and they had plenty of blasters.
And he admitted to being Carter?
The sergeant scratched his head and looked at the other sec men, watching from the hatches of the LAV.
Well, no, not exactly, sir. But we figured out who they were pretty fast. Who else could they be?
Anybody, you ass! Mercies, Cold Hearts, Vil Sekmen, anybody at all! Ryan travels with 6 other people, not 5. 2 of them women, not men! Can't you tell the